Hello and welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 93. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And Zelda the Queen is out sick.
The Christmas flu has taken hold. Anywho, so it'll just basically be the two of us yammering about apparently Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which they have completed.
Yay!
Skyrim and Zelda.
Yay.
Yeah, you may be getting tired of hearing about those, but tough.
That's what we're playing. That's all we know.
About the size of it. So let's go ahead and start with Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood and how you guys felt it ended.
Well, yeah, finally finished it. The ending is much better than the original Full Metal was, I think. It really, like, basically all loose ends get tied up, essentially, you know? Like, you know, there's nothing left. They completed all the storyline and really brought all the different character arcs that are going through to a close. Within the space of, like, two episodes, basically, which is kind of impressive considering the number of characters that they had going around doing all sorts of different things.
So it was all tied up nicely, very, you don't see, like, they're going to do a movie like they did with the other one?
No, I don't think so. But, I mean, it's like, and basically, it kind of ends with Ed and Al wanting to go off an adventure, basically. But
So basically, they're not going to have more of the, well, this issue with this is going to crop up. No, we closed that chapter in our lives. Yeah. If it's something else, it's going to be a new random enemy and or foe that may be making lots of money off.
Yeah, I mean, it'd have to be, yeah. With the way everything with all the baddies in the series was tied up. You know, they were all wasted, basically, by the end of the show.
Good to hear. Nice to know that it is a satisfactory ending, because it's always the crappy part about some shows is when they just end bad. Or don't make you feel like you watched this, you invested yourself in all this time, and that's what you did?
I'm looking at you, Fruits Basket. A terrible ending to that series.
Yeah. Alright, well, so, if you had to give it a rating 1 through 5, what would you say?
4.5 or 4, something like that, yeah. It's really good. Zelda Queen is very quietly prompting me that some things drag during the series, so.
Could have maybe cut out some of the episodes.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Moving with that, let's go ahead and move on to Nintendo's, you know, Game of the Year. What is going to be unarguably the best game of the year for the Wii, because I think we have maybe one other choice for it, and that's Super Mario Galaxy 2. Is Legend of Zelda Skyrim, yes. Skyward Sword. You can guess what I played for the past month.
Link, you must join the Dark Brotherhood.
Actually, that's where when I was playing Skyrim, that was the quest. I was on that when I had to when I finally returned the game. I was joining the Dark Brotherhood, which is fun because. Okay, I'm going to go to Skyrim first, then we'll go back to Zelda.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm a mostly caster character. I'm honestly not really stealthy all that much, but I just gotten some of my higher level destruction spells, and one of them was called Ice Lance. Well, you're sent on this mission to go kill this lady in an orphanage. She's called Greta the Kind as a joke because she's such a mean and vicious woman.
Oh, so this is like a Little Orphan Annie kind of orphanage.
Yes. I mean, the person that sent you to go kill her was one of the escaped orphans. Apparently she's an extremely mean woman and nobody liked her. I mean, when I went in, and the first thing I ever heard from her was saying that nobody likes you, little snots, and you're never going to get adopted, so just give it up. So, I, you know, crouched in a corner. It said I wasn't detected. She's there stirring in a pot, and I sent an ice lance straight through her head. Then it was like, she's dead! She's dead! Was basically the orphan's response.
Okay.
So then I got a letter saying, we know, with a black hand on it, and that's where I stopped and took the game back. But she was just like, huh. Well, that wasn't the most stealthily way I probably could have knocked this out, but hey, it worked. And there won't be there's no arrows for them to, you know, trace the crime back to later. Not that they ever do that, but hey.
I turned out to have no idea.
Exactly.
To be fair, I don't think that bows leave, a distinct mark upon the arrows that they fire the way modern guns do.
True. Anywho, but so, that was entertaining. Fortunately, I did not install the new patch, so I had no instances of my spell resistance not working, and I never saw any moonwalking dragons. Yes, for those that don't know, the most recent patch to Skyrim, which hopefully they're supposed to fix real soon, was they made some of the dragons basically moonwalk, where they flew backwards and kind of stuttered a lot. Some people's spell resistance wasn't being recognized. So if they had, you know, a fireball or lightning or something shot at them, their spell resistance did nothing for them. But yeah, it's a fun game. I think I've said that many times before. I am trying to figure out if you can actually become Thane of the city of Winterhelm if you're an Imperial guy, because Winterhelm is where the other faction is headquartered at.
Oh, probably not.
Probably not, but it'd be interesting to find out. Most people I've always heard say, it's like, yeah, we want the side of the rebels. Yeah, they're not any better. It's like, it makes you feel guilty kind of for, you know, being the rebellion choice. Because, you know, typically, the Empire, you don't want to typically go for the Empire, because they're the Empire. I mean, how can they honor? It's like, that's traditionally the bad choice. Is they're the ones trying to take over from somebody else. So you try to, you know, go for the guys who are trying to take their homeland back. You find out they're just a bunch of racist pricks.
All choices point to bad.
Basically. It's like, it's one of those, it's like, well, these are shades of gray. There's no black and white. It's shades of gray all around. But I enjoy the game. I'm definitely going to be buying it. I have to decide if I'm going to buy it for the 360 and keep my 50 hours of... the 50 hours that I've spent on there, or if I'm going to get it on the PC and have to restart and basically restart from scratch.
But have better load times and such.
Yeah. See my dilemma on that one?
Well, to get back to the 50 hours, it might only take you like 40 or something. Depending on exactly how long those load screens
only
are.
Only 40 hours to get back. Well, if we're only talking a 10-hour difference. Anywho, but... Yeah, so that's my big dilemma when I actually buy it. Because I think it's the same price, whether it's PC or Xbox. I don't think there's the $10 difference you typically see between the two.
Mm.
And with that, I guess we'll kind of move on to Zelda.
Which is awesome.
It is a fun game. Sometimes the motion controls kind of skew me a little bit. It kind of seem a little bit of a pain in the butt. But
I have the problem where I keep getting off-centered, the Wiimote does. Uh-huh. So I'm like, I'm pointing to like at the screen. But the sword is pointing up to the up off the left or something. I'm like,
down.
What I end up doing, but you can't do that when you just have the sword out. You have to like bring out something that you aim, and then center it, and then go back.
See, I have an issue. I had just gotten a weapon, since there was plenty of spoilers on these throughout the while. I'll just say which weapon it was. It was the Dust Bellows, and it seemed like it would default to whichever position you were holding the Wii when you brought the item out.
Yeah.
So that would mess me up so many times.
Now you have to kind of make sure that when you're getting an item out, that you have the remote pointed towards the middle of the screen. Otherwise, it gets weird.
At least they make it easy enough to recenter and recenter yourself. Mm-hmm. Instead of having to, you know, do this whole calibration thing, it's like, if you're off, just press the down arrow.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that you can change your overlay as you play the game for how it shows you what controls do what.
Mm. I haven't tried that yet.
I changed it from the light to the standard version. So it doesn't actually have the Wiimote outline, it just has the buttons.
Ah, okay. Okay, I see. Yeah.
And for those that haven't paid attention how to do that, hit the plus button, and then it's in the lower left-hand corner. You can also reconfigure the Wiimote itself with the whole set it on a flat surface to recalibrate it if you're having a lot of issues.
Yeah.
I did find out something interesting about the Wiimote with the IR sensor bar. Mm-hmm. If you have a Christmas tree located next to your TV and it is on, you will not be able to go to that half of the TV. To the half of the TV that the tree is on.
Yeah. It's the same reason why you can actually replace the sensor bar with, like, was it two candles, basically?
So, yeah.
Because, I mean, all that thing is basically two IR sources.
Yeah.
And as long as you put, you know, two more, you replace it with two similar sources.
Yeah.
In the same spot.
So yeah, whenever I got to that half of the TV, my little cursor would just disappear. So that was very annoying until I put two and two together. So okay, Christmas tree on, watching regular TV, gonna play Zelda, Christmas tree off. Which is convenient, because fortunately at least the tree's on a light switch.
Yeah, but it's been a lot of fun. I've largely just been watching Zelda Queen play it, because she's a lot further along. But then I've been going through and playing my own file, which is kind of fun because I've watched basically her do everything. So it means I'm just like blazing through stuff.
You don't have to figure out any of the puzzles yourself?
Not usually. And you're just like, oh, yeah, and they do that thing and that thing. And da-da-da. Like, for example, based on, you know, her experiences fighting the first boss, I was able to do it without dying and without even using potions because I was like, I know all the tricks.
It's like, I know how to defeat this jackass. Personally, so far, he's the boss I hate the most. And of course, he's a recurring boss, obviously. If you get that, if you played for the first temple, you know this is your recurring boss so far. He's creepy. He's not scary, he's creepy. Especially when he starts looking, when he does the thing with his tongue.
Don't like that.
Basically, think of like a hybrid, for the people who haven't seen this yet, think of like a hybrid lizard type thing. He kind of sticks his tongue out, licks up real quick, and then brings it back in. Just creepy.
On the other hand, there's still, I mean, really enjoying some of the little bits of humor that do crop up in the game. Such as with the monster who wants to be human.
I kept waiting to just try and talk to him, because to talk to him the first time you find him. I'm like, well, it's not going to let me do that, so maybe I do have to attack him. I go to swing the door. Ah! Stop! Well, if you would have let me talk to you. But yeah, it is kind of entertaining. And then let's see. I do think it's a little annoying that when you're in Skyloft, you can jump off of these platforms and catch your bird, but if you try to jump off where there's not a platform, you're falling.
Yeah.
It's like, but I can jump off this area and be just fine, but I can't jump off this area. And not being able to fly at night, I guess I understand it.
I don't understand exactly what purpose in the game it serves, I guess, is kind of where I get from. I mean, it kind of makes like a logical sort of, you know, a sort of real world sense. Like, you don't want to fly around at night, you can't see where you're going. But I just wonder if there's like you eventually like unlock and are allowed to fly at night or something, and there's some reason that you need to be able to fly at night. Later in the game,
maybe I don't know. You get one of those headlight helmets for your bird.
Yeah, well, that thing looks really goofy.
I do like the flight controls in that. For the most part, they're real easy to use,
mm-hmm.
Especially once you get the hang of it.
Well, I did find an interesting thing. If you go into the Lumpy Pumpkin at night, you talk to this guy, and he's like, "I've heard that sometimes when when people skydive over Pumpkin Landing, that there's little multicolored creatures dive with them." And I was like, that's odd. So I went up, flew up as high as I could, jumped off. And there's these little things that start, like, falling with you. And you kind of, like, as you touch them, you kind of, like, collect them, and they start making, like, a ring around you, like skydivers.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if, I guess you have to probably get all of them. I didn't quite, but.
I actually did notice that one time. I forget why I was diving over in that area, but I was for some reason. And, yeah, I noticed these little things start to surround me. I need to knock over that chandelier still just to get the heart piece and then get yelled at. But I don't have an empty pot. I didn't have an empty bottle when I went back there to it, so I'm like, I'll worry about this later.
I think that's all that I have to talk about.
That's all I really have to talk about. I'd go deeper into this, but I'm trying to be very anti-spoiler here.
Yeah.
It's very hard to talk about the game where, gets better the deeper in you go, but then you start talking about stuff that are unlocked, and you could be talking about stuff that people don't want to hear about because it's spoilers.
Oh, we can talk about the upgrade system.
The upgrade system.
Which is a lot of fun. And
assuming you can find the parts.
Yeah. It's what's fun is that it's, there's only, 16 components? Is that right?
I think so.
16 or 20, I can't remember now. But yeah, there's only so many ways to get any of them. So, if you're missing something, you know what to do to try and get it, usually.
And if you don't know where to get it, you can, if you're only missing like one piece I found, you can talk to the dude, try and upgrade that thing, and he'll tell you what sort of things will fall from his grandpa's notes, as he keeps saying. Like in the case of Dusk Relics, I had two of the pieces I needed for the slingshot upgrade, but not any Dusk Relics. So I go to do that, and he says, "What? You don't have any Dusk Relics? According to my grandpa's notes, you can get those from the shadow, from the spirit realm." Whatever the heck that means.
Yeah, the fortune teller also will go through everything. You just ask the fortune teller to tell you about monsters and treasure from monsters, and he just goes and rambles through, basically what all the different monsters will drop.
But he also does specific regions, remember?
Yeah, and also does regions, because those are, I'm trying to remember what stuff, just like tumbleweeds, just appear randomly in the desert. Ancient flowers appear in the time-changed zones in the desert. I'm trying to remember whether things are more location-specific.
You need to kill bats in order to get the claws, is what I found.
It's any, like, claw-y. It's basically any claw kind of monster, basically. Anything that has claws.
I hate those hydras.
I have learned that just, basically slash back and forth as quickly as possible, and eventually you'll get all three heads.
Well, I noticed I wasn't paying attention the first few times, but then I had to fight two of them at once. I noticed they'll actually align their heads, like usually in a diagonal format.
Yeah. Well, they do align their heads right before they strike, but it's just...
It's annoying. It's hard
because the time between aligning their heads and striking is very short, and so it's hard to, you know, say, okay, they've done it this way, so I need to get my Wiimote down here and then slash. It's just easier to just kind of go, because the heads are still vulnerable when they're reeling. Like, uh-huh. If you haven't destroyed all the heads, it's just because of the other necks are in the way, it can be harder to hit the last head. So if you get, like, I mean, you either just kind of keep flailing wildly and hope to basically...
That's usually how I did it.
Yeah, essentially, by flailing, as soon as the other heads are regen, they're usually aligned enough that one horizontal slash will take all three of them out. Basically. That's what I found.
That's usually the theory, at least. But yeah. But it does do other things. Like, initially, since your shields do take damage in this game, it behooves you greatly to upgrade them so they can take more punishment.
Yeah.
In this case, like, the wooden shield, you go to a banded shield and then to a braced shield. And put that sucker away when you go to the lava area. Otherwise, one bad jump and you have to start all over with your shield. Get an iron shield in that sucker. But then put that iron shield away when you go to the desert, because everything there seems to have electricity.
Yeah, the last shield that you get is the sacred shield, which is... It can, you know, it can reflect fire, electricity, stones and such, and magic attacks. But it has a very small durability bar. Yes. So as long as it doesn't take too much damage all at once, it will regen itself.
Good to hear.
But it's like 500 rupees, so you don't want to mess it up.
It's expensive to get from that little butt. He always get. I love that face he gets when you tell him you're not going to buy something.
Oh. It's like everybody, if you kind of look at their stuff and then don't buy anything, they get all pissed off. It's kind of weird.
It's like, well, if you had a sign here that I could read instead of making me talk to you...
Maybe I wouldn't bug you all the time.
It's like that one dude is like, I'd like to upgrade my stuff. It's like, well, I don't have enough stuff to do anything. Okay.
Oh, you changed your mind? I didn't change my mind. I can't do it right now.
I would love to have you upgrade this, but you said I don't have the parts. So as far as I'm concerned, this is poor customer service on your side.
Yeah, why can't you just order those in?
And then they do have your traditional mini games. There's one I found where you slash a bamboo thing several times. 29. 33.
Zelda Queen made it 29. Her best so far.
There's like a Rupee Minesweep game, but I haven't seen it.
I found that one. It's somewhere in the Elam Mines. I don't remember now, but I did find it. Yeah. Or in the Elam area. It's in the... Basically, it's in the lava area, lava levels.
Oh, in the Elden Volcano.
Elden Volcanoes, that's it. But yeah, I did find that one, because I forget if I actually already had the bomb patch, or it was the bomb bag or not, or if I blew it up with other bombs that were with the bomb flowers. And I like how you can actually re-get bombs.
Oh, yeah.
It makes sense.
Doot, doot, doot.
It's like, you need a bomb bag so you can safely carry bomb flowers. Well, how does everybody else get them? Simple. They pick them, and they put them in said bag. And it works great if you accidentally pick a bomb, pull a bomb out, put it down. You can pick it up and put it right back in your bomb bag, and it will stop the fuse from burning.
Yeah, Zelda Queen, where it's just like, bomb, what do I do with it? Bag. It's like, oh, that actually works.
So I like that. It's just like, you're low on bombs, you find a single bomb flatter, pick, whoop, pick, whoop, pick, whoop. So you don't have to actually go buy bombs. Which makes me wonder why
you don't have to hope for, you know, well, hopefully this pot has some bombs in it. Break. Nope. Maybe this one. Nope.
So it makes me wonder why what's-his-name sells bombs. You think it's a convenience thing?
I don't know.
And I have like 3 seed satchels now. I need to upgrade them eventually. But yeah. Overall, the game, I like how they expanded on the Zelda's formula. I mean, it's not the same formula we're used to. Well, okay, it is the same formula we're used to, but they added enough stuff to make it different enough to, you know, not seem like we're playing Ocarina of Time or Twilight Princess again.
Yeah, they've added new components that help, you know, things like balancing on ropes, swinging. I'm trying to think if there's other stuff.
The stamina bar limits you in ways. But it does it in order to make the game that just that little more challenging to make it fun.
Yeah, like running through that sand.
Yeah, it adds an element to the puzzle. It's like, okay, I need to get through this sand, I need to get this far, but I only have this much time to do it. If I have a stamina potion, I could obviously do this, but you're not typically going to waste a stamina potion on something like that.
Yeah. And so it's like, oh, wait, but there's that monster over there. If I kill him, I can jump on his shell.
Or there's this wall that has a basket. What happens if I throw a bomb in the basket?
Link plays the basket's balls.
He does. Well, Link can play it too, and I like the fact that you can either toss bombs or you can roll bombs. Although rolling bombs is very hard to do from a sitting position.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to...
So typically if I have to roll a bomb, I stand up, roll it, and then I'll sit back down. Or have you ever tried to throw a bomb and for some reason your thing switched to the roll position?
No. I don't think I've had that one happen.
Yeah, that happened to me one time. I'm like, what the heck? This is up! Oh, well. So yeah, that's about all I have, really. I know recently I actually got a beta thing for... I restarted my Gameplay account because I got a beta for their PC Unlimited Play thing.
Okay.
So I'll actually be trying that out soon. They don't have a whole lot right now. I was really hoping that would have been like... They have the new PC games and you can unlimited play them as long as you're a subscriber. But it doesn't look like it's set up like that. They have kind of a limited selection, kind of like OnLive has. So in addition to their rental service, you get whatever their PC play games are, which seem to be kind of an older game selection right now.
Okay.
So, but it is still in beta. They haven't officially released it. So I'm going to give it a try. Hopefully they'll eventually get it so they can have, you know, newer PC titles available for rent like they do the console titles. Mm-hmm. But they probably have a lot of licensing issues they have to go through for that.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works. And yeah. So, guess that's going to be all. Hopefully we'll be able to keep this up for the rest of the year, but obviously, for those that have never paid attention to when we say this, we typically record on Sundays. Christmas is on a Sunday this year, so we won't be recording on the 25th. Next week, we probably won't have a full show because there is an event downtown that at least half the crew is going to, if not the whole crew, if possible. And then the week between that and Christmas is still up in the air. So hopefully we'll be seeing you all again before Christmas, but if not, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and game on!
Game on!